This morning we're reading from Psalm 37, or Song 37 in the Bible, in the book of Psalms. So if you have a Bible or have access to a Bible, we're going to read that in a few moments. We started a few weeks ago a sermon series called Noticing God in the Psalms, and we're trying to take the book of Psalms in the Bible, this book that is rich, full of poetry and song and all kinds of stories about God, really, and try and find the story of God in those psalms, in those songs, and then connect it with the story of God in our lives. So can we see God at work in the same way in our lives? In a few moments, we're going to read Psalm 37. Psalm 37 is what's called a wisdom psalm. So it's going to sound a little different than other psalms or other songs that we read. But as we read it this morning, I want to encourage us as much as we can, as we hear the words, to say, I need to hear this. We need to hear wisdom. Whether we're male or female, older or younger, richer or poorer, we all need and can benefit from wisdom. So this morning I want to encourage you, as you hear this psalm, to not just hear it, but be asking and be willing to submit to the wisdom of the psalm. And as we read the psalm for this morning, the message that will come in a few moments, but also this coming week, preparing for next week Sunday, one question I would want to have us answer is, when have we heard, when have you heard wisdom from God? Or what's wisdom from God that you have heard and embraced and taken into your life? So we're not going to read the whole psalm this morning. We're going to read most of it. But what I thought I'd do is I wanted to ask some wise people at Nelson Avenue to help me read the psalm. So I thought, well, who are the wise people at Nelson Avenue? So I thought I'd ask some of our seniors. So I've asked six seniors to join me this morning. So this is your cue, six of you. I hope you're here to come on up and join me here in the front. And we're just going to make a line in the order of our reading, I think with Bill starting at the front there, and each of us is going to read a portion of Psalm 37. So Bill and Jane and Carol and Fred and Gail and Ruth and myself, I'll end it at the end. Kind of redundant, I'll end it at the end, but that, I'm going to take the last few verses. So I think we all have our parts. Again, Psalm 37, a wisdom psalm.
Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart.
Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindications like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes.
Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity.
Better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of many wicked. For the power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The blameless spend their days under the Lord's care, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will enjoy plenty.
The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Those the Lord blesses will inherit the land, but those he curses will be destroyed. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand.
I was young, and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be a blessing and do good.
Then you will dwell in the land forever, for the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. And this final portion, consider the blameless, observe the upright. A future awaits those who seek peace. But all sinners will be destroyed. There will be no future for the wicked. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in times of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Thanks so much for reading this psalm with me. Appreciate that. Bit of a longer reading this morning, and I hope that you are able to follow some of it. But I have to confess that so often, if I were hearing Psalm 37 and I was you sitting in the pew, I would be saying, huh? Anybody say, huh, this morning? Like, I heard a lot of words, and hopefully you understood the words, and I even heard some sentences, but huh? Like, what's going on? What's this psalm all about? What's the flow of thought? This isn't a story, really. So it's different than a story. It's different than Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, kind of this flowing psalm. This is a bit more jarring, like the Proverbs. Here's one thought, and here's another thought, and maybe they're connected. And so maybe some of us this morning are wondering, what's going on? For me, at least, even after a second or third reading, psalms like this can sound jumbled and disconnected. So it takes some effort this morning. It takes some work, I think, to figure out what's happening. And we might say it in different ways, but I would suggest that the theme this morning, I'm just going to take it from verse 1, how to live with those who are evil and do wrong. That's what I think the psalm is dealing with. It's dealing with a situation in the world, dealing with a certain reality in the world, a kind of, I would call, almost injustice or tension or almost a kind of suffering. There's something amiss. And how do those who are honest and have integrity live with those who are not so honest and don't have that same kind of integrity? How do we live with those who we might even say are wicked and evil and do wrong? Now, the examples I'm going to give in a few moments are not quite on that scale. I'm not going to say these examples are people who are wicked and do wrong, but maybe some of us can relate in certain times of our lives that maybe we've worked with someone and we look at them and we say, they're not working at the same pace that I am. And they're not working with the same kind of honesty that I am. And in fact, they're kind of shady. They're going around people's back and they're still getting the same amount of pay than I am. In fact, they're getting promotions and bonuses that I'm not getting. What's going on? Maybe some of us who've been in school, you know, we say students who are maybe not studying as hard as we are, or who are kind of looking over at someone else's paper, or who are with us in a group project, and we're working, 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 and they're kind of slacking, 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 and in the end, we all get the big A. Like, what's going on? Or that neighbor, or that friend, or that member of our family, we look at their lives and we say, their lives are not exemplary in any way, but they seem to have no trouble. They're just swimming through life. Everything is easy. And I'm seeking, I want to follow God. I'm trying to follow God. But the trials and the troubles still come. I have a friend who works for WorkSafe BC. And when I talk to him and hear the stories, I get the sense that there are some builders and contractors in the Lower Mainland who are very honest, full of integrity. They play by the rules that the government has set up. But other builders, not so much so. And sometimes I just am amazed at what's happening with certain people who are trying really to swim, jump, get around all the rules to get this building done as cheaply and quickly as possible. And this psalm, and I don't think the psalmist had all these examples in his mind, but this psalm is wrestling with this kind of reality in our lives. Now, I need to say that this psalm, the wisdom in this psalm, is not good advice. It's not like a little nice saying like, eat your veggies. You should eat your veggies, but this is not wisdom. That's not wisdom. That's not Psalm 37. Psalm 37 is not, look both ways before you cross the streets. You should do that, but that's not wisdom in the Bible. Wisdom in the Bible is a deeper reality. Wisdom in the Bible, or God's wisdom, is trying to figure out, how do we live in this world? How do we live best in this world? What's the way of living that God would have us live? But wisdom says there's a certain way, there's a certain pattern in this world, and wisdom is trying to figure out the pattern and give words to help people live according to the pattern that God has set. So if the universe or the world is simply random, if there is no meaning or purpose, then there can be no wisdom. Because if everything's random, if there's no purpose or meaning, everything's changing from one day to the other. But if the universe does have purpose, if there is meaning inherent in the very fabric of the universe, if it's not random, then we need wisdom. And we are almost obliged to figure out the pattern. How has God set up the world? So this morning, the wisdom that comes from Psalm 37 is a little bit like Proverbs that every culture has. So I'm just going to say four Proverbs I found online. I think these are closer to biblical wisdom than eat your veggies. I'm going to say eat your veggies is not biblical wisdom. But these Proverbs I found online are closer to that. And I'm going to say the proverb, and then I'm going to ask, where do you think this proverb comes from? And then I know some of you will say, that's not true, that's from my culture. That's not from, maybe it is, but this is what I found online. Okay, so the first proverb, and I need to hear this when I travel. Because if we're lost, I never want to ask anyone where we are, I just keep on driving. But he who asks is a fool for 5 minutes. But he who does not ask remains a fool forever. Now, where do you think, what culture, what country do you think that proverb comes from? Well, the internet said China. Anybody nodding? People from the Chinese culture? Okay, that's what the internet said. It's a good proverb. Second proverb, many hands make light work. Internet said, pardon? Russia. That's what it said. I like this one. God helps those who wake up early. Or, you know, I've heard the early bird gets the worm. Where does that proverb come from? It said Brazil. And the final one, don't spread ashes on cooked rice, or don't rain on someone's parade. internet said Korea, South Korea, or the Korean culture. So lots of wisdom, and there was like tons and tons and tons of proverbs from different parts of the world. And this is more like in line with the wisdom we find in the Bible. But so often in our culture, North American culture, but other cultures as well, we have a tough time with wisdom because we are moving so quickly and we are just dabbing into different things so quickly that wisdom can't really get inside of us. I've been reading a book recently called the 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You, which is a fascinating read, timely book for me, very thoughtful. In fact, I'm hoping to use the book this summer as a sermon series. I want to call the sermon series, What Phone Would Jesus Buy? What smart, if Jesus was living in our culture, you know, would he buy a phone? And if so, what kind of phone would he buy? I want to talk this summer about technology, our view of technology, but also what's technology doing to us. But as I read the book, the author says that wisdom is so tough for us because wisdom demands time and patience and experience and deep reflection. And today, at least my experience is, all the beeps and notifications, our phones, our laptops, our tablets, our endless Wi-Fi, it doesn't allow for reflection or spending time figuring out wisdom. Our culture is the instant culture, and we are skimming along. And I find that, I don't know if it's true for you, I find that especially with the news. Like, I am just skimming the news. I see the headlines. I know there's conflict in North Korea. But I never click on the article to find out what's really going on. Why is there conflict? Can someone help me understand that? I just know conflicts. And the same thing with wisdom. I think because we're skimming so fast and so many things are coming at us, wisdom is really tough for us. So this morning's psalm, I'm sure, is difficult for us to take in, not just to find the line or to find the thread, but to listen that long to wisdom. Now, we find this morning in Psalm 37 that the wisdom that it gives is what I would call a God-sized or a God-shaped wisdom. One author has said that wisdom we find in the Bible, and I think also in Psalm 37, is referring to that practical knowledge of how to attain true and lasting happiness or true and lasting joy. That's the intent of wisdom in the Bible. And the Bible would tell us, God's word would tell us, if you want to find true and lasting happiness or true and lasting joy, follow the wisdom of God. Follow the wisdom that Jesus gives us. And in this psalm, there are certain things that this song calls us to. It says, don't fret. Don't be envious of those who do wrong. This should be our basic posture towards others. It says, trust in the Lord. I'm going to move quickly through these. We could spend lots of time on them. Trust in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Verse 4 of the psalm says, amazingly, I love the language, delight in the Lord. And when I see a word like delight in the Bible, for me, that's a trigger. That the Bible is not about primarily duty. It's not primarily religion. It's primarily gospel and good news. I cannot delight in mere duty or mere religion. But I can find myself delighting in the God of the Bible. We're called to refrain from anger. We're called a number of times in the psalm to give generously. Even when others around us don't, or even when we're in a season of having less, the call to be generous, the call to turn from evil and to do good. And the list could go on. I'm just giving a few examples from a certain verses in the psalm. And we might be asking, why? Why would we want to do these things? And again, very quickly from the psalm, evil will not last forever. So if you find yourself practicing evil or doing things that are wrong, or see others doing that, you should tell yourself, this will not last forever. God is going to reward those who do not practice evil. And the Lord, or God, is on the side of the righteous, or maybe we should say the way or the side of the righteous is on the way or the side of God. And as I read Psalm 37, I think about the list of things we're called to do, and in the midst of all the things going on around us, it sounds a little bit like a slogan that I hear comes from World War II among the British people. So it was a little slogan that they came up with. I don't know who came up with it, but to keep the morale of the British people going, the bombs are falling, the world's at war, the bombers are coming, you know, overhead at night in the dark. And with all of that going on, all the chaos of war going on, the British people were told, keep calm and carry on. Now, I'm not sure if that's your read of Psalm 37, but that's a little bit what I hear. There are evil people, there are wicked people, there are people who are not living their lives as God would have them live it. But if you're listening, if you're hearing the voice of God in the midst of all that chaos, keep calm and carry on. Now, in the midst of the reasons I've given that the psalm gives for following the way of God and following this wisdom, I want to add another way, but it's not like this is Pastor Yo's way, and I'm, you know, this is what as I read the psalm, I think there's something going on, I would say, the way the psalm was put together. So why should we not be envious and fret about those who do wrong? Why should we trust in the Lord and even delight in the Lord? Why should we refrain from anger? Why should we give generously? Why should we turn from evil and do good? And I would say, because God tells us, yes, because God will reward those who live like that, yes. I would like to add, keep calm and carry on, even in the midst of all the chaos around us. But I want to add this, one more reason, or for me, not a deeper reason, but as I read Psalm 37, this psalm calls us to a certain kind of life because it fits. It fits with the future reality that has entered this world and will one day fully enter and envelop this world. And I get that as I read Psalm 37, I get a sense that the writer is talking about this life, but he's trying to get our eyes up. Right? We're just, look at that. Look what's going on around me. How can I get your eyes up? Get a long view of reality. Like in verse 37, a future awaits those who seek peace. A future awaits those who are peacemakers. And we might say, well, why? Why are the peacemakers going to have a future? And from the broader story of the Bible, I would say that Jesus Christ has brought a new way of living, a whole new kingdom into this world. Jesus announces the kingdom. His death and resurrection secure the kingdom. It's established. It's not going to be moved. By grace, through faith, Jesus invites us into the kingdom. And then by grace through faith, he calls us, equips us, empowers us to live in the kingdom. And this kingdom is called the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. I want to call it also the kingdom of Jesus. And in this kingdom that has come already, but will one day come fully, the life of the kingdom is peace. The life of the kingdom is trusting and delighting in God. The life of the kingdom is righteousness and generosity. And one day, all the fretting, all the envy, all the anger, all the resentment, all the evil doing, all the wrongdoing will be done. So when we live by the words of this wisdom psalm, we are getting ready for the future. We are fitting ourselves for the future that's already here through Jesus and one day will fully come. As we live by the values of Psalm 37, the values of the kingdom, we are showing, or God is trying to show us, who we were meant to be, who we truly are, as we find ourselves trusting Him, committing to Him, following Jesus. And as I think about that, who we truly are, I think about a story that one of my professors told me about 20 years ago in seminary, which I find, you know, 20 years ago, we had problems too, but for me, it's a story so great for today. The story about his son Nathan, who was an RA in a dorm room on a college campus full of guys, young guys. Late teens, early 20s, young guys. Like they're just, all young guys, energy, passion. And so one night, Nathan gets invited to one of the rooms of the guys in the dorm. As he enters the room, he realizes the guys are all gathered on the TV, watching an adult movie, watching pornography. So what's Nathan going to do? He's the RA. He's a Christian. Well, the guys know that. What's he going to do? Is he going to sit down? Hey, this is great, guys. Thanks for inviting me. Is he going to start, you know, screaming and yelling? What's he going to do? And my professor said his son turns to leave. He can't stay there. He knows that. But as he leaves, he says, "You guys are better than this." And that stuck with me. Now, I'm going to say a bit more than Nathan said, but as I think about you guys are better than this, and I put it in with Psalm 37, I would say the watching of adult movies and pornography is not who we're meant to be. It's not the kind of activity that will cause our lives to flourish. And the sooner these guys stop that, or we, or anyone, stops that kind of living, or the living described in Psalm 37, sort of the evil, the wicked, the way away from God, the sooner we stop living that life and start living the life of Psalm 37, the sooner we will start fitting ourselves for the future that is coming and is already here. So practicing generosity, trusting in God, delighting in God, not fretting, not being envious, refraining from anger, all begin to fit us for the future, for the new creation that's coming. So I want to give a little example of how we might think about this, and I'm hoping this will work. You know, I was trying to think, how do I jab, jab, you know, walk, walk, talk, 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 and now how could we image this? So I need a volunteer. I just need one volunteer. It's not going to be crazy stuff. Just anybody willing to help me? Oh, James. Orly. James, thank you so much. I was looking over here, neglected you over there. Now, hopefully this will help us. If it doesn't, just say he was trying. He was trying to help us. But James, if you just put out your arms, nice and big. Okay, so if James kept his arms out like this all day long and started walking around, what's going to happen to him? What? He's going to get tired, but let's say he was like Superman, and he could keep his arms out like this all day long. Can you imagine? He's just walking around. Eventually, he's going to bump into doorways, right? I know this is kind of crazy, but when I was thinking about living our lives in such a way that we fit, and I'm going to suggest that this is being envious. This is fretting about those who do evil. This is not being generous. This is not committing your way to the Lord. This is walking around with your arms out, and eventually you're not going to be able to go anywhere because you can't fit through the door. Right? But Now, if he slowly starts lowering his arms, slowly, so let's say he's no longer fretting and no longer envious, and he's generous, and he's committing his way to the Lord, and all the other things Psalm 37 talks about, then very obviously, he's fitted for life. He's fitted to walk through the door. I'm going to say that you go all the way down now. Yeah, there we go, yeah. He can fit through the door that leads him into the future. So I want to suggest that when we're not living by the wisdom of God, we're like kind of bulky, right? God hasn't made us like that. He hasn't made us for that. But as we lower our arms or follow the wisdom of God, he fits us to walk through not just this life, but into the next life. That's already here because of Jesus. Thanks, James. So this morning I wanted us to listen to Psalm 37 and hear just a little bit of wisdom from the Bible. But because it's Mother's Day, I also want us to spend a few moments listening to the wisdom of a woman in our congregation. So Jacqueline, if you'd come up, and as God gives you grace, speak some words of wisdom to us.
He didn't mention anything about wisdom. He said the psalm was about wisdom. He didn't say that I needed to be wise. This Mother's Day has been different for me, and I'm going to share why. I'm going to tell you about four different situations or thoughts, and they do tie in, so trust me. 2 weeks ago, I was, it was raining, and I was fed up, and I decided to plant hanging baskets. And I thought, oh, I got to phone my mother-in-law in Edmonton. She's going to crack up when she finds out I have to wait to May to plant my garden, because this is BC after all. And I was about to phone her, and I remembered, oh, she's died. Last week, I was in a garden center, and there were hanging baskets, and there was one with fuchsias, fuchsia, and my mother loves fuchsia. And I thought, I'm going to buy that basket. And I reached for it, and I remembered, oh, my mother has died. And I've also been thinking these last couple of weeks a lot about the children I've miscarried, four of them. And I've thought a lot about them lately. I don't know why. Do they have my wit? Do they have Brian's good looks? Do they love math? Are they creative? Do they love to sing? Where are my children, and what are they like? These are all things that have come this Mother's Day. I don't know why. Then this week, a friend of mine, has nothing to do with any of this, tells me she's a single woman, she's 60 years old, she is driving all the way to Calgary to spend three precious days with four godchildren. Not her children, godchildren. And then on Friday, in my home, we had regeneration. And we had a house full of youth, which was great. And believe it or not, when they were leaving, some left right away, but a bunch of them were in our entrance, we yipping and yapping. And I had this weird thought, and a really bizarre thought. Now, if there was going to be a snowstorm today, right now, all these kids could stay at my house. And I would care for them, and I would nurture them, and I would protect them, and they would be safe, and there would be no worry. And then, as they all left, I realized that that's what this is all about. The ability to nurture, the desire to nurture. And it's something that all women do, not just limited to me as a mom. It's all women. We nurture. I think God has woven it into the fiber of our being. I think we do it because we desire it. We nurture our children. We nurture children of other mothers. We nurture the youth. If I could hold them all and protect them and keep them safe, I would. Because I believe that's what I'm wired to do. And all this nurturing, what's it about? Well, it's about the greatest gift. It's about love.
Thank you, Jacqueline, for those words.